just remembered, I forgot to announce the show on Twitter. Everybody's going to miss my intro. Somebody who's listening, just say go to recruitinganimal.com on Twitter, show on now. Please, please, it's October 26th. For those of you who have forgotten, I almost forgot to change my phone. But after last week, I made sure I'm talking on a different line. Anyway, we got a super recruiter on the show today. It's going to be a really big show, but you want to hear what I was thinking of this morning? I was so sick yesterday, I better not shout. This morning, though, I saw a posting on Twitter by a guy named Iggy Pintado. I wouldn't use the name Iggy if it was my name, but anyway, that's his name. He told me and everybody else that today is the 70th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz. 70 in 1939, it was released today. Now, it's always been one of my favorite movies, but it wasn't until recently that I understood what The Wizard of Oz really means. So in case you're not as smart as me, I'm going to knock you out by telling you here and now what this movie means. Here is the message of The Wizard of Oz. Message number one, I wish I could be louder, more emphatic, but I can't. Here it is. Don't follow leaders. Don't follow leaders. Why? Because leaders are the biggest phonies around. Think back to the movie. Everyone is afraid of the wizard. He talks loud and he breathes fire. But in the end, who does he turn out to be? A health food salesman. Some old guy in a wagon who hustles snake oil. I'm right, aren't I? Yes, I am. Anyway, message number two. You got to fight to win. You got to fight to win. And when you do, your enemy is going to melt like a snowman. She might have a lot of followers, but those guys are just a bunch of monkeys. And you know what? Because that's what a bad leader does. He makes a monkey out of you. That's a message. Slow down, animal. Slow down. I don't want to die on this show. Message number three. It's the final message today. I'm sure there's a lot more. But this is the message I'm going to give you. You always have the power in your own hands. Dorothy spends the whole show looking for a big phony who can send her home. And in the end, what does she find? He's a useless jerk. But she could have sent herself home anytime she wanted, because the rule is, if you don't like where you are, vote with your feet. Now, some people might say, Animal, you remind me of the great Oz himself. And you know what I'd say? No way. I have over 3,000 followers on Twitter. Some of them are listening to this show right now. And are you going to tell me they're all monkeys? No way. Well, you can feel free. I don't care. You know why? Because one of them sent me a message just before the show, and it said, we were having some kind of argument on Twitter yesterday. She said, since when did retweets, RTs, equal self-promotion? And here's her little shot at me. She says, seems like you're in a different Twitter reality than me. And I said, oh, honey, please read any of the million articles about social media, and the reason you're using it is to promote yourself, and one of the biggest ways is to help everybody else. They tell you the same thing again and again and again. Suck up to other people, and they'll promote you. I just saw an article the other day, in fact, yesterday, saying the very same thing. Now, my guest for today is a guy named Neil Lebovitz. I don't know how to say his name. I think that's it. Anyway, he used to be the president of a very big recruiting firm. I think they had 150 branches across the United States, something like that. And I saw him listed on the top 40 under 40 on some recruiting magazine, and he had a nice picture there. He was a fresh-faced kid with his hair all gelled up. He looked like that guy, Corey Hart, to tell you the truth. But now he's a bit older, and he's got a goatee and a few wrinkles under his eyes, and he looks like a beatnik to me. So, Carl and Jerry, can you tell me what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Whoa, you you guys need practice. Thank you. But, oh, you built me up. You got me all excited. And that just didn't do it for me. That's a sour start for the show. I'm sorry, everybody.
I thought it was awesome. That was
okay.
That was,
it was awesome. Let's ask the guest. Neil Lebovitz, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Did you think that was a good intro those guys gave me or not?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't the best I've heard.
It wasn't awesome, right?
I give it a 7.14.
Okay,
somewhere.
I'll give it that, too. I'll give it that, too. Hey, can somebody announce the show on Twitter? Like, there's not enough people here, and we've got a superstar recruiter. You are a superstar recruiter. Am I right, Neil?
Well, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Okay. Now, I got a few announcements before we get going. Is that okay, Neil?
Yes, it's okay for Neil Lebovitz or Lebovitz or
Lubovitch. Neil Lubovitch. I expected a guy in a fedora and a white shirt with a black jacket, but
I'm
nope,
a small Russian Jew on your show today, yeah.
Okay, fine. I couldn't tell how tall you were from your videos. Anyway, let's go. Big news. Workfarce hired. Workfarce is now the VP of sales at recruitingblogs.com. Big surprise because Workfarce is a maverick. I don't know if anybody knows him anymore. There's so many new people in the recruiter sphere, but he's the most maverick, wild, out of, it's me saying this, he was out there blogger, the wildest recruiting blogger who ever lived. And a lot, you know, J.D. Jason Davis, the guy who owns recruiting blogs, he likes mavericks, right? So he's got other mavericks on his team, you know, people who are very independent-minded, stubborn, and they hated this guy, okay? Now he's taken this guy Workfarce into the lion's den. Let's see what happens. So we're going to sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow for Workfarce. Who's here today that wants to sing? Maureen, you're always good for a little song, right?
I'm here. I'll sing.
Neil, are you singing? You know that song,
yeah,
for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. Anybody else going to sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow? Everybody knows that song, right? Nobody else is singing? Okay, the three of us will do it. Okay, let's go. For He's a Jolly Good Fellow, for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, that nobody can deny. Enough. Now I get to sing.
I have one more thing to say. Workfarce, is Workfarce here?
Nope.
When you listen, Workfarce, I love
okay.
you.
Okay. Yes, you love him. Okay. So
does
everybody.
He probably has to work. He has a new job.
Yeah, he's got a new boss, a maverick boss. Anyway, let's. I spent too long on that, but I do have to say this. Maureen is leaving the Recruiting Animal show. She left me for some guy who likes to wear a kerchief on his head and make tough-looking faces into the camera while he's in some kind of sissy street demonstrations. At Radical Recruit, Jeff Webb. That's him.
But I'm not leaving the animal show. I'm leaving.
Yeah, you're going
I'm
to Thursdays.
I'm taking talk sourcing and going.
Talk sourcing. You're going to Thursdays at noon, starting tomorrow at
That's
noon
right.
on Blog Talk Radio. blogtalkradio.com/talksourcing. Okay, so now we're going to sing Your Cheating Heart. Anybody else want to sing that with me?
I'll sing.
Your cheating heart will tell on you. You'll try to sleep the whole night through, but sleep won't come, Maureen, and then you'll know that old Jeff Webb was just some schmo. Okay, now, just a couple of more things. LinkedIn kicked Maureen off this week. A little divine justice there, I'd say. And the reason is, though, she had her email address on her LinkedIn profile.
And my phone number.
And your phone number, which is the normal thing to do. Anybody who does not have contact information on their LinkedIn profile is an idiot, okay? So, but they're after you. They don't want anybody to be able to contact you directly. They want to, you know, you have to use their InMail, their lousy InMail.
Well,
okay?
There is a place at the bottom of the profile where you can put your phone number, but you cannot put your email address anywhere on the phone.
I never saw that place.
Are you out of invites? That's why it's on there? Are you out of invites? Are you blocked for that? Is that why you're doing it?
No, they let her back in quickly.
No, I'm on the free version. I don't have a bunch of invites. I've got like 3 invites left or something, but I never use them.
They let her in, right? They let you back in, am I right?
They let me back in late in the afternoon.
Okay.
After I Twitterized it all afternoon.
Can I say one more thing? I promised I would talk about the Recruit Fest. It's the last thing I'm going to say. Recruit Fest is on September 23rd here in Toronto. It's an unconference. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the recruit vest video that your buddy Jeff Webb put up with the Pet Shop Boys singing behind it. I got the looks. We got the money. Anyway, you see Papa John Sumser in there. He's one of the earliest members of the Recruitosphere. The guy's got a ponytail. They got pictures of him playing a guitar. It's obvious to anybody who's got a brain. This guy's just an old hippie. He's a paid-up member of the Woodstock Nation. And what does he say to promote Recruit Fest? He said it's a Gen Y-style unconference. According to him, any dirty baby boomer like himself could never organize it because they can't get their heads around any meeting that isn't run along military lines. I don't know how he can say it. I don't know if he believes it or if he's just sucking up to these Gen Y guys so they'll, you know, carry him along, a hippie, a bohemian guy from the last generation. Don't trust leaders when they talk like that! Okay, Neil. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, do you want to say something before I ask you some questions?
Yeah, well, two things. One, you said it's October 26th, but this is live. It's actually August 26th, just a small correction.
Did I say October?
You did. You could play it back on the retape, but...
You know what happened? Stefalo, our good friend Stephanie A. Lloyd, she started her show, Dream Job Radio, last week, and...
Recruiting blog type deal?
No, it's not recruiting, it's job search. So anyway, so I did her a favor. This is
Sounds
something
great.
Someone could actually thank me for. I said she's on at 1 o'clock today, immediately following this show. It turns out last week was just a pilot. She's not on today, okay? So,
you took up with another that fast. You took up with another animal?
I am excited about it.
You're excited about it. Okay,
yes, I am. I didn't mean to sound exasperated.
Okay. The politician is there.
Animal,
you
didn't even let the mattress get
okay.
cold.
Maureen.
Oh, my gosh.
That's quite
Maureen.
Okay,
wow.
So, okay, you guys, before I cut you off, let's get to Neil. Now, Neil... You said that was one thing. I made a mistake.
Oh, the other thing was the
Thanks
Wizard of Oz thing, which I am not. I'm sorry.
Hope you're not all smoke and mirrors.
Exactly. I hope I'm not the wizard, but I do love the movie, but I don't get the whole thing. I don't get the Glinda thing at the end telling Dorothy, oh, by the way, I could have told you, you know, right in the beginning, but you wouldn't have believed me.
Leaders are stupid, even Glinda. Glinda's a nice witch, but she holds back the secret. It's hard to figure out.
Because
that's very quick of you.
Believe her. She flies in on a friggin' bubble. You're not going to believe this woman. So it's a plot hole for me, huge one.
Hey! I don't want to. I won't go there. No religious stuff.
Enchanted by her gown.
Yeah, okay. It's a recruiting show, Maureen. I spent way too much time. It's 10 after 12 already. Let's go.
Did you ever hear that if you took acid and played the Pink Floyd The Wall album at the very start of the movie that somehow they coincide?
So
no, I didn't know that.
You don't need acid. It coincides with anything. If you took acid, you could probably play anything.
Oh, that's probably true.
Yes. Okay. All right, what do you got?
Did we lose him?
I think he left.
I think we lost the animal.
Oh, my gosh. We got to carry
Let's talk
the
about
animal
Glinda.
Show like 2 weeks in a row.
Let's talk about Glinda the Good Witch and the Bad Witch.
No. Let's talk about Neil.
Neil, what's up?
Did you prepare for the show?
Neil wants to talk about the plot hole.
I am prepared like the wind.
Okay.
Go. You have the floor. Let's go. Let's hear it. What's your
What am I talking about?
What do you do, Neil?
You prepared for the show.
What do you do?
I am. Is Animal not here?
I don't think he is
Animal's
here.
Not
He'll
here.
Be back,
we
though.
We have to take over for him.
Hey, if you don't know me, you can check me out on www.thedynamicsale.com. I mean, long story short, I am an ex-industry executive. I was a global president for Business Line for the world's largest staffing recruiting firm. I was president COO in the U.S. For a very large company in the industry for about 6 years.
Management recruiters?
No. It was actually Agilon Professional Staffing and then Adecco globally.
Okay.
So I did that up until last year, and I've turned to the lovely world of training, which I think I'm going to get beaten up on today's show, but what the heck. And I am not a beatnik, although I have aged since my 40 under 40 stuff. But,
what are you teaching, Neil?
I teach the full cycle stuff. I have courses and material for the owners and managers, which I You know, I give them all the great wisdom and such from my years of traveling to different branches and regions. I do perm recruiting, and I do a lot more actually than I planned on the temp side of the business, just because there isn't a ton out there, and people have asked for a lot. So I do the whole gamut, but just for our industry and nothing else. No general sales, no insurance, no real estate.
Mm-hmm. You teaching sourcing?
I'm sorry. Do I
Are you teaching sourcing?
I'm leaving
hey, Maureen.
You. You have it so well covered in Shally that I dare not go in. I touch on sourcing, of course, and
yeah,
you know I have to have it, but I don't have specialized sourcing only courses now.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So that's you know that's the scoop. If you're bored and waiting for the animal to come back out, right?
I'm back. Like, is it true? Are you guys faking me out?
Were you gone, or were you just hanging out to see
again
what we would do?
You know what? I have to call in on a different number than you. I thought it was my phone. I told you I changed my phone. It's this. It's the Blog Talk Radio. They don't like me or something. They just throw me off. If I get kicked off again, I'll call in as a caller. Okay.
What's your training site again, Neil?
It's www. Of course, the HTTP colon. You know, whatever. TheDynamicSale.com. The
okay.
Dynamic.
You have an auto delivery feature, don't you? You're sending some good stuff out for free.
I do. If you go right there, you could sign up for it.
Yeah, I did. I'm getting some of your stuff. It is good stuff.
Good. Yeah, it's good. Good. Well reviewed. Thousands of people are getting it. Good comments, and you know, anyone out there can sign up for free.
Thousands of people are getting it. How'd you drive that so fast?
You know, I good word of mouth. I had a big network from my presidential days. I'd be lying if I said I'm not using a little LinkedIn ads and some Google ads to drive some traffic to it, but most of it just by referral and what have you.
Cool.
It's good stuff, and it's for free. So, you know, if I was selling it, maybe it wouldn't be thousands of thousands. But
Neil, do you find that in times like this, in a down economy, that training is one of the first things that are cut in recruiting company budgets, and it really ought to be the first thing that they should increase?
Well, of course, of course. All of us trainers laugh and joke about it. I mean, I ask my clients directly or my past clients or possible clients, and they all admit it. They get that it's ridiculous. But, you know, people don't want to spend, and they cut back on that. They cut back, of course, on agencies. That might be the first that goes, right, temps and agencies. But, yeah, we're right up there. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Pay us. We will help you. Now, it is an investment, of course.
What about me? What about me? This is my show, okay? So did anybody introduce Neil? Did you introduce yourself? You used to be the president of a firm
We've
with 150 offices.
We moved right along,
animal.
Thank you. I got some questions about that. It said Neil was at the helm of the company's rebranding strategy. Branding. We want to know what that means. And you implemented a candidate-driven approach to recruiting. What does that mean? And you also managed to reduce turnover. I'm not that interested in that, but you might want to tell us that too. So start about with candidate-driven approach. What's that?
It's a bunch of crap that the marketing department put on there, you know, for my bio.
There we go. He's one of us now. Great.
Yeah. We changed our name, you know, which was big. We were forced into it, and it was part of a global strategy, and it's a brand was Accountants on Call and a bunch of others. So it was a very important move for us to move over to Agilon. So, you know,
now, why did you change your name?
It was global. There was hundreds and hundreds of global brands, and they wanted to take it down to a handful. So that was the name that we were, you know, given, and that's what we became. I mean, the candidate approach, I do think, is a bunch of buzzword stuff. I mean, we did a lot for the candidates. We did a lot for turnover. We wanted to make the brand a fun brand, and I'm not your typical president and COO. So we wanted to, you know, have that whole flavor show, and we have a lot of.
What does that mean? You're not the typical president.
You know, a little goofy, a little off-center, a little non-traditional, not worried about taking some shots and maybe getting fired, figuring, you know, you go for broke. Either people like it and it works, or you're out on your butt.
Do you recommend that to other people?
I do. I very much so. I think, you know, stats have shown if you don't follow your gut, if you're not yourself and you try to fit in or do just what other people tell you, you end up being on the street more than being yourself, for sure.
Can you give us an example of a time where, you know, the safe thing would have been, you know, some mild, you took a more extreme or personal point of view against the thoughts of other people?
Sure. I mean, I have a lot of them. I mean, as a
I want a few stories. Who did you report to, first of all, when you were the prez or the CEO?
I reported to the global president of the business lines when I was president and COO. That's a job that I later got. So when I was the global president, I reported it directly into the CEO of the full parent company, the full $25 billion company. So I was on the global executive team with six of us that ran the whole company. Global.
And were you the youngest?
Was I the youngest? You know, it's a young group. I was the youngest at 40 under 40. I was the youngest field guy. There was a young HR guy that came in.
It's getting too complicated. No,
did
just say no. I wasn't the youngest.
No,
okay.
I was.
Did you party pretty hard when you'd get together? Since that company was making millions.
You know what? They enjoy their partying and their and a lot of Germans there. They love their beer. So there was some good beer and Hefeweizens and all that sort of stuff.
Great.
But, yeah.
Good stuff.
Okay. Back on. I want some examples of stories where the safe thing was one path, but you took your own road.
Well, I was forced in the last recession to fire a lot of executive recruiters and to go too deep, and I just felt that that would be the end of it, and I was going to fail miserably and never bounce back if I did it. So not only did I not fire the people, I added on staff, much to the anger and dismay of my bosses for fully ignoring that. And, the long and short of it is it really paid off massively. I mean, there was a couple of things like that, but it paid off massively that we ended up becoming, or like from the worst to like the top performing division. And, I mean, to say I was touted and was given like wonder kid status was an understatement. And it was really all because of that and just going with your gut and doing, what you want to do. Having a national meeting that we were told was going to cost a couple $100,000 and you can't do it. We did it. We said, well, we can't get the money back, and we made up stories, and we just said, we have to do it, and you're going to hate me, but you got to trust me. We'll get it paid back in the first 2 months. You have to do what you feel, whether it's on your desk or whether you're leading people, you have to do what you know and you believe is going to work.
Okay, so you're saying you don't always build a business case for what you do. You go with your intuition. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you just have to. Sometimes that's all you have.
What's your gut telling you now?
Get out. No, my gut now in terms of the business, overall, I think it'll be a slow recovery if that's what you mean. I think the worst is behind in terms of recruiters and firms, shutting their doors. Good news is really finally coming out on the temp. The ASA just released that they see a market increase in demand, which is awesome for every business when temp goes up. Perm, all my clients and people I'm in touch with are seeing better things happening, so I'm excited. I don't think it'll be like it was in the 90s or in the 2001 recession in terms of a crazy immediate, very fast bounce back. But my gut says for sure worse is behind us.
Okay, I got another question though about this thing. You said it was a recession. The natural way to go was to lay people off. You hired people. Was that trying to buy yourself out of a recession, or like what was the logic there? I don't get it.
But we did fire a lot of people. Okay, so and we laid off people, and we had to do it. And some, we were forced to do it right before Christmas, which was god awful. So we laid off plenty. We reduced our headcount plenty. I'm not saying we didn't do it. When it was time, because of that, we of course lost sales. We lost margin. We had to close some branches, and we lost a lot of headcount. And, our sales didn't catch up with that loss. So when you're in a downturn.
What year are we talking here?
2001.
We're talking 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. So it would be in 2002. Right after we thought the recession might end right around 9/11, and that extended it for virtually another year. So we had cut plenty, but the call was to cut even more. And the call, another one from the CEO at the time, was you must close all loss-making branches, and I refused to do it. And our business, which was professional staffing, you're going to have loss-making branches. The end result of that was it would have killed us, I thought. And so I didn't do it. And they were not happy about it. I told them to trust me, they stuck with me, which was awesome, and they said, fine.
Who'd you lay off? What got them laid off? How'd you decide
who
to lay off?
We laid off the underperformers. We looked at every area. We looked at the people that just weren't delivering, didn't have enough in their pipeline. We laid off.
Did you have a dollar amount under this? You're out of here?
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't that black and white. We certainly started with that list, as everyone does, and then you go through and you ask people to sort of justify some of the people and, you know, what does the activity look like? How long have they been here? What's their potential? And, you know, each region had to give up different positions and different number of people. And you know,
dollar volume, just in general, what did they have to be doing to stay?
I'd say at the time it was, you know, in 100 grand maybe. In a
what do you think it is today? Has that changed?
Grand. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what they do. I know companies have different views on it. My personal view, not saying anything about any company, is, you know, as long as anyone is profitable or not costing you a lot of money in a recession, you know, live it up. Now it's been a bad recession, so just because someone isn't billing a lot or they're costing you some money, it'll cost you a lot more to replace them later. You know, so, you know, don't just look at the numbers. You have to look at everything, the activity and all the
Again,
stuff.
In general, what's the profitable level? Over this,
Lorraine.
They're profitable. Under that, they're profitable.
5 grand, you know, 80 grand for a perm recruiter. You know, on a, if you're, you know, looking at someone that's selling temp, which most people aren't interested in that, you're probably looking at about a, you know, $100,000 in margin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maureen, are you satisfied?
I've got a question, Neil.
Tell me you're not interested in that animal. No. Tell me.
But
we didn't ask him how much money he's got in his pocket at this moment. Go ahead.
That's my next question.
Do you put professional contracting in the same category as temp?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right, so enough of these numbers. I want a good show. I want to leave a lasting impact. Numbers are
numbers.
Okay,
numbers
well, what
are
do you
fine.
Want to talk about? Yeah, Maureen always wants numbers. She's the numbers lady. Okay, she's gonna haunt this guy, Jeff. Just trust me. Okay, so what do you want to talk about? I had another one more question. Why were you at a young age capable of being a leader or a manager of such a large organization? Your background, are you an accountant or you just took accounting? You're not a chartered accountant.
I am a CPA,
okay.
And I did that at Ernst & Young out of school, and kill me. I mean, nothing against the finance people. I hated it, and I had midlife crisis at the ripe age of 23. So that's where I got into recruiting.
Why did you go into accounting? Just to be safe?
No, it's safe. I went to Penn State. It's a party school. I was in a fraternity. I had a great time. I got the job in my junior year for an internship. It's just I was always good with math and numbers on my SATs, and you know, you're too young. I was immature at the time.
Okay, so you went into recruiting accountants. Do you think that made you a better recruiter of accountants because you had that background yourself?
No, it absolutely does. It's not needed, right? And any owner out there is looking for people. I mean, you want some of that. Absolutely, it does. If you can get that and matched with a sales type style or personality, it's awesome. You can't beat it for the consulting and the conviction of what it is that you're trying to sell. You don't. It's not a must. I, you know, often would hire a salesperson that is really good at convincing and learning and is motivated and all those things, and that they'll learn the finance side. So it's not needed, but it's a huge help. Sure.
Okay. Well, give me an example, though. Give me an example of when a situation that it would prove helpful.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, anytime you're trying to solve the need, right, which is what every sales trainer or book tells you about, solve the problem, you know, stir the wound, find it. You can immediately get out of the gate if you come from the field of understanding and getting to the root of what the issue is. So if someone tells you, look, I need a bookkeeper, in my example, or I need a payroll manager. Now, it sounds like what you're telling me is this whole thing is messed up. I think let's talk about an accounting manager. Let's talk about this type of person that could come in and solve the problem that you have. Or why don't we look at one of those and I'll go with your job spec. So you can be truly, I hate to use consultative because it's...
No, that's what it sounds like.
You know, but you can be. You just get it more. So you can, you know, someone says, I need an AP clerk. Well, we don't have AP clerks or a payroll clerk. They're impossible to find. But you don't need a payroll clerk for this. I can get you a guy that was doing this, who's doing receivables. From what he's going to do, the skills are transferable. And you can learn that over time, of course. But you're right out of the gate, you'll know those things. And, you know, it works for any business, whether you're techie, whether you're in, you know, medical, or your healthcare, whether you're in sales or recruiting. Sure, to know the lingo and what the real people do every day is a real big help.
What about when you're interviewing an accounting type person, the kind of questions you can ask and the evaluation of the answers? Can you give us some examples where that makes a difference?
Well, sure. I mean, anyone that works for a good company is going to be trained on what to ask, and they'll get their questions. So, you know, in any niche, you're going to have your very specific questions to drill down deep, especially if you're a specialist and you know, not a generalist. So, again, being an expert, you know, if you're in finance, A, you can tell if someone's completely full of crap and it doesn't make sense. Well, I was in this area and I worked on the financial closing. But you know that there's a financial reporting department, and they claim they're doing reporting. It's a bunch of crap. It's just, it doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense. You can ask.
What do you say to a guy when you catch him like that?
You say it doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense. It's a bunch of crap. No.
Oh, you actually tell him?
No. I mean, you would point out, you know, that it doesn't. If that's the first time they said it, you would just question it nicely, like, hey, there's a different group that does this. In my experience, I've never seen it done here. Did you really do it, or is that something you're just putting on the resume, which, hey, it's cool, I'm with you, but I just got to, you know, you don't want to, you know, make it adversarial, but you definitely want to call them on it.
Do you think anybody can be taught to sell?
No, I don't think you need to be a natural born salesperson. I don't believe in the natural born salesperson.
You don't believe in that?
No, I think there's some people that definitely have skills that are really good for sales, but I've seen unbelievable low-key salespeople that don't look or sound like salespeople, and if they learn their craft and they're motivated, you know, it comes down to, well, what makes a good salesperson? That's a whole different question, but no, I don't think anyone can do it. There are plenty of people who fail because there's a lot of rejection. You know, it's the person that didn't mind, you know, going out in a bar and, you know, hitting it up with a lot of women or guys and you know, would use the numbers and realize they're going to strike out a lot, but their ego can deal with it. You know, that person does better in sales. Not necessarily if you're a womanizer, but again, if you could deal with rejection, if you want to really learn your craft, which is, I think that's the key element. You have someone motivated to really learn, and they're smart and decent on their feet. They don't have to sound like us. They can be low key, and often low key is even better. As you know, Maureen. I mean, you do a lot of sourcing training, you know, and if you come across too aggressive, it could be a big turnoff. The person that's slow and, you know, they're really talking more like this, they're much more effective in their bond and in being able to convince or overcome objections. So.
So if you look at it as a numbers game, you're one up on the competition.
Well, numbers game is one element of it because it's believe me, it's not just and I train it. The numbers game stuff is also highly overrated. It's very important. It's always an element, but it's one. And the quality issue and what you do is even more important and could save you even more time. But again, it's as you know, it's not for a lot of people. You can't judge a book by its cover and say, hey, this person is too techy or they're too low.
What was that?
What are you doing?
I thought
the guy's talking. What are you doing, animal?
This is so hurtful.
We started to drift.
Did we lose animal again?
I don't know.
Is he gone? Oh, so you pulled the plug?
No. Maybe he's gone. Maybe he'll be back, though. Do you think there's a percentage of the population that can do sales? Or?
By definition, there's a percentage, for sure. I can't tell you what the percentage
yes.
is.
Any
yes,
idea?
Yes,
any? Do you have an opinion on what percentage of the population can sell?
Gosh, the percentage of the population that can sell well. I know pi is going to somehow factor in there because it always does.
I'm not following. What do you mean?
Pi. You remember from math, 3.1415.
Yeah, I remember, but I don't get the connection.
There is none whatsoever. I'm just trying to think of a number. I can't come up with. I have no idea. I don't know.
All right.
20%?
Do you think less? Okay.
Okay. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
I called in as a guest. I'm a guest on my own show.
Not long last.
Okay. Maureen's trying to sabotage me. She's trying to, Jerry, take care of her for me, will you? You know,
she's the original cast member here. I mean, she.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. I got a question for Neil. I heard what he was saying. Neil, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. If you are interviewing somebody then, and you go to their Facebook site, you know, surreptitiously, and you see that they're a party animal who hang out in bars, picking up chicks. Are you going to say to yourself, that's the guy for me, rather than, like they always warn you, no one's going to want to hire you. In fact, they will want to hire you because they know you're outgoing and courageous.
Good point.
Well, it's a good point. But, again, the good news about Facebook is if you have those pictures up there, you'll be private and you can decide who you want to accept. So if you're going to accept a possible employer onto your Facebook page and you have those on there, you better be damn sure that that's going to be a plus for you. But, you know, so that's the real answer. But the real yet somewhat cute answer is, truthfully, I've had some unbelievable party animals, studs or party girls that were outgoing in college or whatever, had a ton of friends, were really all over the place. They're confident. And, boy, so many of them did really super well. I don't know that I'd hold that against them. If they had a bong up there in it, you know, I don't know. I not that I would hold the bong.
Jerry, doesn't this guy know too much about acid and bongs for a leader?
World travel.
Way out there. No.
Okay, listen, Neil, you sent me a note from last week, I think, not this week. I am passionate about lead generation and how people should only be doing this instead of cold calling and cold sourcing crap. What does that mean? I didn't...
No, you're hysterical, right? And then I sent you other notes. You just say, yeah, we'll talk about this. So I prepared all my thoughts nice and good. You come back with the one that we weren't going to talk about. But, hey, I'm quick on my feet, as I told you. We'll talk about leads. You know, it doesn't make for a good radio show. I talk about it a ton in my training. I think people, I get...
Okay, that's the charge thing. Whenever we have a trainer on here, I ask a simple question, and they say, well, no, you have to pay for that. That's okay.
By the book.
Let's talk about a cost.
No,
how much does it cost?
To give you my answer. I wasn't going to do that. You have to pay for it. With my goodwill and people listening to me, I'll have some people who will sign up, and I'll get some clients out of it. So I'm willing to give you the basic meat of the stuff.
That's where you're mistaken, though, Neil. Nobody is listening to this.
That's right.
Okay, moving forward. Sorry about
okay,
that.
Okay, hold on one sec. I got to have control. I need client control, Neil.
Take it back.
What else could we have talked about? If we don't talk about lead generation, what's the next thing? Technology? Is that what you'd rather talk about?
We could talk about leads if you want. We could talk about technology. I'm passionate about both of them.
Okay, what's the third thing? You sent me a bunch of stuff. He did fill out his form, Maureen, by the way. But he sent it to me 10 minutes before the show, okay?
I didn't see the form.
Is it question time yet?
Go ahead. Ask a question,
Jerry. I've got a question.
Yeah.
When you get a new training client, an agency, typically what do you find they're lacking in? What if there's one thing that most recruiters are missing or need help in, what is that area?
A real formalized client development plan, a structure, a method to the madness. If you look at from a manager perspective, it's all about the matrices and how they track and decide if someone's going to be good or not. They virtually all look at the end result. They look at the billing numbers or the margin that someone has and not what's going to happen 3 months from now. I mean, those are the common themes you see over and over and over again.
Are they not tracking their numbers? Is that what you're saying?
They all track their version of it, but they track end result numbers. It's a huge common problem. It's in every industry.
What should we be tracking?
Should be tracking the activity that leads to it. So,
which is what?
Yeah, I'm tracking my numbers, Neil. Here's our average, per desk average. Here's what this guy's doing it for. Here's what I have him on the books for. That's awesome. This guy's great. He built 200 grand so far. Oh, and how many clients? Well, two. Great. So he landed two lucky clients where the guy, the CFO or hiring manager might get fired in 6 months and he's going to be back down to zero. What's leading? How many visits is he having? How many job orders are they soliciting? How many are they closing per client? The things that will yield your results in the future. It's so simple and basic, but that's really what's missing fundamentally. Most stats, and anyone on this call that does it, look at either what you're reporting to your boss or what your boss is looking at. You know, 90% of the stuff is end result stuff.
Do you think it's because they just don't know how to do it? They don't understand the technology, or why?
Some of it is not knowing how, but you know the end result pays the bills, and you know you could set it so you could break it down. Hey, I want someone to bill $300,000 a year. You know, I need them, you know, to bill, you know, X dollars a month, or you know, okay, I need them to bill $25,000 a month. And so, hey, they've done 75, they're on plan. Are they? Are they not? Again, it doesn't lead to it. When you look at the temp side of the business, it's not complicated, but you got to look at the fill activity, how many accounts you're penetrating, what does your client base look like? I mean, all these other things, that's what will lead, as a president, that's what I did to lead the charge and to grow the businesses. I would look at what are we really doing? What are my financial statements and my reports going to look like in a month or 3 months or 6 months or a year from now? And again, that's also, Anna, back to your point, that's how I was able to be confident to take some chances too, because I knew from what I saw with the activity that we have to get the results. We have to get the end number that every bank or boss ends up looking at, in 3 or 6 months.
So people reporting to you were doing a lot of paperwork.
Well, we did a lot of it online.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah. But they were doing a lot of reporting.
You need some. The most that you could just fully automate is great.
You were doing number reporting.
There's not really that many different numbers. I mean, it's not like this huge mathematical.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's how many interviews, how many send-outs, how many introductions, how many client visits, how many job orders, how many offers, fills, starts, fall-offs. I mean, how hard is that?
Do you have like a cheat sheet that has that information on it, Neil? That Jerry made a good point.
I do, and it's for sale for $99.99.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go. Nice.
What's your website, Neil? What's your website?
It is HTTP colon double
oh,
slash.
Oh, but come on.
How many slashes?
TheDynamicSale.com. TheDynamicSale.com.
TheDynamicSale.com. TheDynamicSale.com. Okay.
DynamicSale.com.
Anybody got a question besides Jerry and Maureen? I mean, there's a lot of people here. Although Carl Chapman left, I guess he got insulted at me. Anyway, anybody else? We got 718-201-817-416. Anybody got a question or just want to say hi to Neil Leibovitz?
Leibovitz.
What do you prefer,
Neil? Question.
Leibovitz.
I got a question.
His age name is Leibovitz.
There you Leibovitz. Got a question.
Okay, Eddie Leibovitz.
There's
my
a question
a
out there.
Who is it?
This is Paul from RecruiterX.
Okay.
I got a question. Neil.
Paul Paris.
I love
Paul
Paris.
Paris.
How are
you? Paul Paris.
One I can actually say, I know the business turnaround that Neil did with the company before we left was phenomenal, because when I was a vice president at Mellon, we used their services. They were one of the best recruiting firms out there that we dealt with.
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in the mafia? No, but many
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I want to tell everybody.
I'm from New Jersey.
There
what
you
can
go.
I tell you? There you go. I'm from New Jersey. I live like 10 minutes
Paul,
from the, your
Paul,
guest.
Paul, did Neil yeah. pay you to do that testimony?
Nah, not at all. I actually know for a long time, know of his company for a long time.
That's great.
My question is why did he decide to leave the business and go into becoming a career coach?
Okay. The answer is I got fired. I did get laid off in a global restructuring, which I knew was happening, and I was.
How did they break the news to you?
Hey, let them get it out. Come
I
on.
I
want to
know about the details. I want the dirt.
Boy, this is they eliminated. They were focusing more on a local strategy as opposed to global. So in my last year, I was in a global president position where all the business lines across the world reporting into me. So they actually laid off all of us in those roles, every single one of us, and they broke it real well. They were real good about it. They explained, we were part of the process and why it had to. Happen and
did they write you a letter or take you out to dinner or how did it happen?
No letter. They were kind enough to fly me first class to Zurich and have a nice conversation with me.
Did you know there was trouble coming?
I was part of the team that actually suggested that the strategy that we have in that setup wasn't the best, and I supported the move. And they were up front saying, look, everyone please be honest. Hopefully no one's jobs will be lost. It could happen. This stuff happens, and when you reach the top and you're at that level, stuff like that happens.
That's a good lesson. That's an entry, very good lesson.
No, but I would do it all over again. It was the right thing. I didn't think the position, the way it was structured, could have been as successful as it would have been otherwise. I wouldn't want to be in something where I couldn't have the impact that I would have. I did great things in my old position. I wouldn't want to go back to that one. So we had talked about that in the past, and they knew that. And they said, it's time. I had a great career there. I was there for 20 years, and they knew I had passion and wanted to do some training and other things, and they thought, hey, we obviously would support you're doing that, and but I always wanted to, I loved the training. Anytime I would do it or any of the speaking or the real impact I had with people, even as president, was you know, really one-on-one or you know, 12-on-1 or 20-on-1 when I went to the branches, and that's really why I got into it.
Do you think there's an ideal in-person training ratio?
Oh, it depends what you're going to cover. You know, if you're going to do a lot of role plays and such, it needs to be, you know, relatively small, you know, mm-hmm. a 10-15 person class. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I will do a lot of 30-40, you know, people classes. So it depends on your
follow-up. So you go on-site and train?
I have done, and I will do on-site stuff that I'll be offering as well, and certainly there's a bigger appetite for that now, you know, for everyone to save money traveling and hotel and such.
Okay, who's the best industry trainer right now?
The www.thedynamicsale.com.
There you go.
Who's the number two guy?
No, I mean, I'm a new guy. It's got
say me, say me,
smart,
say me.
But, you know, I think... you know, you'll be hearing a lot about me. I think you have the specialists on the sourcing side. And you have Shally, and you've got Maureen. You know, they have great reputations in it. Everyone knows Danny Cahill. I've seen him way back in my career. I think he does a great job. Jeff Kay, I love a lot. I think he's fun, and I think he's, you know, current, and he stays with it. And you know, there's a lot of them. There's
Peter Lefkowitz gets a lot of good press.
Yeah, Peter, you know, he did.
Stale.
I saw him.
You think he's stale?
Mm. Yeah.
That's what.
Okay.
Some
okay. 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 You guys ate your Wheaties today. I mean, especially Maureen. What do you have for breakfast? Anyway. Okay. Neil.
Yes.
Neil, you still there? You can hear me. I'm still here too. Then right. Okay,
sure.
So you're new. You're new at the training biz. I'm just curious.
Oh, wait a minute. How new are you? I mean, when did you get laid off?
I got laid off in 2008.
Wow, you bounced fast.
Well, I took the summer off. You know, it wasn't too bad. But I got back into this. I started this business in March.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
And you've got a couple thousand people there?
I do.
That's
and we
great.
Should talk about our JV with my unanswered emails to you, Maureen. Maybe you didn't get them because you're... get a million of them. But
send,
email me.
Send
give them your email address.
We'll
give them your email address.
Maureen@techtrack.com.
Or
yeah,
Maureen.
Contact
me on the website when you...
Maureen@namesourcer.com.
That's the problem. TechTrack is not
you're
spelled
right.
properly.
I
Neil. How do you
spell TechTrack?
TechTrack.com.
That's moronic, I got to tell you.
Okay,
it's
then you're name sourcer.
That.
Moronic. This is like your name.
Moron Maureen. Thanks.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Maureen@namesourcer.com.
Okay, so
that's
like there's 10 minutes left. Neil, do you want to give the guy a chance to talk about what he wants to talk about?
I want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. I can.
Okay, well, I'm enjoying. I got to tell you, you're a good guest. I'm enjoying
very
it. I would be happy to have you back another time. So I don't care what we talk about. We can.
Oh,
I want to know what you felt like when you found
anyone.
Out what was going when that you were going to be laid
Maureen.
Off.
No,
I want to know.
No. I got
to show. We
you
want
know
information here.
You
we
know
don't
what?
Care how he felt. He moved on.
Carl or Jerry, I don't know who said that, but it's
Carl.
Right. She's like the Oprah of the recruiters
yeah,
here.
Right. Feelings aren't helping anybody. We want some stuff that recruiters can take to their desk and get something done today.
Get something done. You're right. How did it
but
feel,
a lot of
Neil?
Recruiters are getting laid off. They're getting that belly, that gut punch.
Yeah,
and
okay.
how do they recover from that? A lot of people
okay,
out
well,
there are wondering.
This guy's not your average recruiter. He was making tons of money. He was
right.
at the top of his
I have
game.
An idea, though, that he knows, that he's got
no.
some advice for people that are
do you have Do you have some moral support for losers, Neil?
It was hard. No.
I'll go to the mat with anybody that wants to go to the mat.
No. You know, how did it feel? Do you want to get into the deep and...
Yeah.
You're not going to make me cry, I will tell you that.
I don't want to make you cry, but how did it feel?
How did you reach down and find the inner strength?
There you go.
What did you touch inside yourself that said, I can do this?
I couldn't have said
it
better.
You don't want me to talk about what I touched inside myself.
No.
Okay,
no.
Listen, hold on. I got the clue.
Oh, God.
You know what? It was a bit of a relief. It wasn't really working. It was
interesting.
Time. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've always believed that you know, good things happen and change is good. And I've given this speech personally to so many people, and I had to lay them off or let them go. That hey, you know, the odds are something really good's going to come from this. I was there almost 20 years. That's not good. I knew that it wouldn't be good to stay in one place for that long. And so I'm not just saying this to be motivational. I did really look at it as a blessing in disguise. All right, look, the severance and all that stuff didn't hurt. But, you know, I had done a ton there, and it was great. It was getting a bit stale for me, and there was, you know, lots of different challenges. It was a great company, an unbelievable experience, unbelievable people. My later reaction was more, oh, boy, what does this mean? What am I going to do? And you do take for granted when you make a lot of money that it will always come. But you also realize that money is...
Would you stop, animal? Stop. He's trying to say something. Just stop.
Well, that's Maureen's fault. I wasn't going down this bushy path.
Oh, somebody else has the horn. Neil?
Can people
Neil.
Just hold me?
What?
I just need to be held. No one is helping.
You came to the right place. Are you married?
I am married.
How did your wife take it?
She thought it was a blessing in disguise also, until
Great.
She realized that I was home all the time and in her face.
How did she like that?
Put it to you this way. On a recruiting business, you can work out of your house. I
yeah.
signed a year lease and an office space on day one. So. So she was happy to get me out of the house.
Are you in a spare bedroom or in the basement?
I am. No, I have an office suite.
That's what he just said, Maureen.
Oh, off, out of the house.
Yeah,
okay. I thought you meant in the house.
Yeah. All right, Animal, what else do you want to go?
Am I still here? I'm talking, and no one is answering me. Can you hear me now?
Now we can.
I just called back again. I don't know what's going wrong. Anyway... Yeah, what?
Probably Bill Borman sabotaging this.
Yeah, maybe. It's maybe Bill Borman. But listen to this.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, because I've noticed these technical difficulties as all these other people are swarming to get their Blog Talk Radio.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Bill
okay.
Borman,
he had
Stephanie
Bill,
Lloyd.
Conspiracy theories. I love
yeah,
it.
Bill
Bose.
Borman has to think. Am I still on? Answer me. Listen, Neil.
So what else is going on?
Neil, okay. When we see somebody, usually when we're recruiting and we see somebody's been in the company for 20 years, loser, dead wood. Is that, now do you have to deal with that when if you went looking for another job?
I wouldn't think. I mean, it's not like I was in the same
position. Not you, but okay, let's say you saw a candidate who had been in a company for a long time, 10 years. Usually we write them off. They are not people who are ambitious enough or want to learn a lot or they won't take chances. Is that a too tough a rule or is it a reasonable rule?
Well, I think that there is some method to that logic, you know, and it always concerned me in the back of my mind. Again, I'm not getting into me. I moved.
No, you're a separate case. I'm talking about general.
You know, I mean, people should, you know, maybe they're not a risk taker. It depends if they moved up a ton, if they're in the same position or the same department for 20 years. I think typically it's
okay,
it's
that's
an
not
issue.
What I was talking about. Okay, let's move on.
Ultimately,
you can talk. It's 7 minutes
he
left.
He doesn't think he was a separate case. I'm aware of the problem.
Maureen, I'm going to cut you off. You're going with that guy.
That.
Save it for Thursday, okay? Now, listen, Neil, you got 7 minutes to take the conversation anywhere you want. Don't let Maureen interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, goodness. Well, the one thing that I thought we'd talk about that would be really good, and, you know, we'll just talk about it to the audience out there, is I just urge people, I can get no good case studies on people that are using the Internet for Internet marketing and really using it the right way, meaning the way the rest of the world is using it. Like, so, I mean, everyone's got their websites, and they built them years ago to get traffic. Nobody's going back to their sites. No one's constantly checking in on what they have. And, you know, people are feeding people tons of material on their websites. It's just not the way to do it. So I urge people to look at what everyone else does in every other sector. And I would love to hear from people out there who are doing it or have implemented, what I'll talk about real briefly and are getting success because it works everywhere. And, Animal, by that I just mean, you know, as we've talked about a little bit, is – you know, creating an opt-in email list on a website, opt-in pages, not pages chock full of content or, hey, sign up and register as a candidate on here, as a client. Who does that now with the big job boards? You're not getting traffic because the websites suck. right? And the way everyone does it is the way I do my website, the way everyone does it is you give away a free report, give away a free 8-week training course like mine. That's why Maureen asked, how so fast did you get a couple of thousand people? I'm giving away great free stuff. In exchange, I'm having a relationship with these people. I'm absolutely pitching and selling them products. I'm absolutely getting clients from them. But I'm not sitting up there and having a website that just has my stuff that I hope people come to. So create your opt-in list and give away stuff. Do it for a client side. Do it for the candidate side. And create these lists for all your people, your candidates that you're skill marketing to, or skill marketing with, the great candidates. Create a special list just for them. Create a list for your prospects. Create a list for all of your clients, the people that go to your website. And do what I'm doing and others. Give them a regular newsletter that is 90% content and value and 10% commercial. They'll allow the commercial when you're giving them all this great stuff for free. So I'm constantly marketing to people, and as is the rest of the world. That's when you go, Animal, to a website and you sign up and you give, you know, your email address for this free report or access to this video. And then, that you know, you give permission where you can unsubscribe anytime you want once the stuff starts getting crappy.
And but I hate to jump in, but I will. Aren't we just all so overloaded with free this, free that, a video, self-hips, job tips, interview questions, recruiting tips? I mean, aren't we saturated?
Well,
it's a good question.
People coming to your site to get that same material that people are posting there anyway because they think that's going to drive traffic to their site.
So let me clarify something. So you're saying, because this is something I'd be very, you're saying don't give it away for free on your blog. Is that right, yes or no?
Don't give your good stuff away for free. And look, the blog is awesome. Drive people to your blog. I put it all on my blog. I put free stuff in there that I get. But in there, when I give my free stuff on the blog, it's an ad in there saying, by the way, if you like this post, sign up, give me your email address. And you'll send something else better. Or you'll get equally good stuff, but a lot more of it. But
you got to get on the mailing list to get other stuff.
Come to my site. Hey, look, here's what I do, guys. Here's 8 weeks of free training. It's going to be good shite. I don't know if I can curse on the internet.
Yeah, you can say that.
What's that word mean, shite?
Shite is just a nice word.
Use some imagination, Maureen.
I don't know. Tell me.
Don't forget it. I'll tell you later.
Come on,
you got 3 minutes, Neil. He's got
the whole thing. So do this and capture these people, and then, in a nutshell, use sequential marketing tools. Stop blasting your clients and prospects with these crappy newsletters that talk about your available candidates and how you're a green company and how you're, you know, here's why you're so wonderful, here's why you're the fastest growing or the best or my client testimonials. They don't read that stuff. You talk about overloaded with information. They're overloaded with crappy newsletters and email blasts from recruiters. So use email, okay, but use it in a sequential fashion where anyone that comes in, once they give you your email, they get email one, then email two, then a week later they get email three. And you could build a brand, build a message, build what you want them to see so that when someone comes in 4 months from now and they sign up, they start right at the beginning to get your message. You're not constantly – how many times do you want to email a client about, you know, how great you are on the closing process or, here, get these great tips on hiring better people? So you just do it a lot. That's the way the world has turned on using the internet. It's great with traffic to get them once and then to harness that and to give them value. I know you're about to play the music, so what else you want to know?
No, you're a great guest. I'm going to give you a thumbs up. I want you to come back another time so, you know, we can stop asking you about how you felt about getting fired and we can get into more of this stuff.
Joe, I'll be honest with you. I need a good cry.
Yeah, it's...
We'll have a special show about Ryan. Yeah. Okay. So you're advising people. It's not clear to me, but you're saying like the old serial movies where people wanted to see what happened to the Lone Ranger in the next episode. There's a cliffhanger or something at the end. They got to come back. So you get them to sign up so you can keep pumping them directly. You can keep pumping them information with some ads from you on it, so they know you. Is that what you're saying, essentially?
My ads are built in.
Can I jump in, Michael, for a second?
An expert on what you do, that'll already be an ad in and of itself. By all means, talk about how your great clients love you because of this and that, but give them value. Send links to people. I mean, one of the email will just be five links. Hey, these are five great links for the hiring manager, for the line person. And if you want to even segment them by industry or sector, if you do that, here are some great, you know, things that are moving and shaking in the telecom industry. And you just want to be somewhere where they don't mind the emails because they're getting good stuff. Here's a couple of great, just really like people use Twitter for retweeting, you know, great stuff.
Give like filter really blogging. Yeah.
What do you think about Twitter, Neil?
You know, I'm not so sold of how people will make money on it. I mean, I spend more time on it than I think I might get the return on. I'm not closing the door on it. I think every recruiter should try it. It's something you want to play with and master. I've gotten a couple of client leads. I have no true revenue yet from Twitter. But I think it's important, you know, for me or for anyone, if you do want to be someone that's viewed by your audience, clients, candidates, as someone that's tech-based and could be of value to them, I think it helps them to see on it, even if they never look at it. So I don't know. It's too much. I get too much porn crap and internet marketers, and it's too much time to vet with software the people I want to keep or not so I can retweet great stuff. I'm not sure. I'm really not.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? You wasted that last 30 seconds. It's now time to go. Neil LaBeouf!